Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Hope you guys are having a great week. I am joined, of course, by my amazing co-host, the King ATL, and Mr. Reggie Walker. How you doing, Reggie?
Doing good, Jeremy. Glad to be back on. Been away for a while.
It is good to get you back on. Of course, you and Coach have been busy. We do a lot of things with the station and a lot of stuff away from the station, and it's always good when we can reconvene and get the band back together, at least two-thirds of us this time.
Right, right. Yeah, we got a, I have the fortunate opportunity of going through. My oldest daughter is graduating from high school, so between that and that, it's been a pretty hectic last couple of months for me.
Oh, yeah, the fortunate thing with you going through it is she seems to be a better student, or at least she applies herself a lot more than I did back in high school, so it's a lot better ride.
Well, she definitely applied herself a lot more than I did, so.
Yeah.
They say every generation is supposed to get better, so I guess I did my job on that part.
Well, then as far as the way I applied myself in high school, then my kids have a really low bar.
I helped them out. Look, you got the impact zone going on, man.
Exactly. Well, we all had to find our motivation in life.
Absolutely.
And speaking of motivation, as we try to transition into, we're actually going to do Falcon Zone first on here because you actually have a time constraint and you'll be leaving us a little early. So I wanted to make sure we got the Falcon stuff because that's your team.
Right, right, right. Absolutely.
And,
absolutely. And let me start by going ahead and proving you right. You were correct in all of the hoopla and back and forth and indecision that I had. I actually did commit to my new seats in the stadium. So there you have it.
Yep, it is what it is at that point.
Right, right. So I am now a owner of two seats in the new stadium.
Now, now, which two seats are those? Do those involve self-flushing stalls, or are you a little closer?
No, actually, I moved up a little bit. I moved up into the club section, which surprisingly was far less expensive than where I was. But I have the vantage point as far as the field is concerned. I no longer have to worry about the cameras rolling in front of me and kind of getting, you know, the obstacles in my way. So I'm actually pretty happy. I'm up in section 212 is where I'll be now.
Okay. I think I actually sat on or near that section because it sounds familiar. I think I sat near there for a game last year. It's a pretty good spot.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm right about the 40th yard line, and so I've got a great view of the field. I've got the end seats now that I wanted, and it's going to be a good ride, good experience. I can't wait.
And there was actually a little bit of news just a few minutes ago that we didn't we were going to kind of mention part of it. I think I had said something about players choosing their new numbers.
Right.
There's actually been a couple more recently. And, well, we'll get right into that particular part because it just happened to come up on my screen as I said that.
Right, right.
The two newest Falcons to change their numbers was safety Desmond Southward, who will now have 22, which is, I think, a pretty good number as far as safeties go. But the one that really impressed me the most, or that I was excited about was he's now called linebacker instead of hybrid or defensive end, whatever. But linebacker Tyler Starr now has number 41, which sounds more like a he's going to play in a game number.
Right, right. And I think that's the one thing that you know, a lot of fans got a little bit frustrated with the lack of or the apparent lack of movement in the free agency market. I think, you know, and Coach Quinn said it initially, hey, we're going to do a thorough evaluation of players. And I had to even check myself on some of the conversations we've had in the past during the Smith tenure, in that we felt like there were a tremendous amount of talented players that just didn't get an opportunity to show what their talents were. So it sounds like, you know, that's the direction that Quinn has gone in, is, hey, I've recognized that there are some guys that could play this game. They didn't get the opportunity, and we're going to give them the opportunity. Tyler Starr being one of them, and Jock Smith being another one, who was on the practice squad all year last year. We always said he had that motor and could have been that guy, but just never got a shot. And it just kind of sounds like now Quinn's going to give him his shot.
Yeah, and since you mentioned that, before we get into the other numbers, because I have to pull them up in front of me, that's something I was going to bring up as well is, you know, there hasn't really been that big splash. And even though you did commit and go ahead and get your tickets for next year, I was going to bring up, is to me, they haven't made a move that makes me want to, I mean, I'm behind the team, but there's not a move that makes me want to buy tickets to watch it.
Well, you know what's interesting, Jeremy, and if, for those who have been following Coach Quinn's Twitter account, he has been giving a tremendous amount of praise to two other Atlanta teams who seem to have taken the same path in the Atlanta Hawks and the Atlanta Braves. Both of those teams kind of, you know, well especially the Braves, kind of blew away their high-dollar players and the marquee players, if you will, and stacked their teams with hungry younger players, no-name guys that just, you know, they're fighting and they're scrapping. And I think the Hawks might have set the tone for what maybe Dan Quinn is trying to do, and that, you know, look at where those guys are, you know, number one seed in the East. You got the Braves, who everybody thought would be 0-5. I think they're like 5-2 now, and those guys are really playing well. So I think that may be his philosophy, at least for this first year, is, you know what, instead of spending the high-dollar money on guys that we don't necessarily know about, let's give the opportunity to some guys that are hungry. And you know what, at the end of the day, you can't beat passion. And he said he wanted a passionate team, and it seems like that's the route that he's taken. So that's where I've kind of got sold on it, watching some of the guys come in for the off-season workouts. I mean, these guys were in the best, you know, some of them said they were in the best shape of their careers, and they came through the doors running. He had a very high percentage of participation for the off-season workout programs, and it just goes to show, you know, these guys are buying in. So I said, hey, why not me buy in as a fan as well?
Yep, I definitely can see that, and I've kind of been – there's been a few Falcons fans. You know, everybody kind of wanders out to the ledge occasionally, and the way I've talked him down is, for one, free agency is not over. Some of the bigger pickups and a lot of teams, including the Baltimore Ravens, who are notorious for doing this, they wait till after June 1st to pick up free agents because you don't have to give up draft compensation for signing these guys. And a lot of people get cut right at the end of May because of the training camps and the new guys that are coming in and that sort of thing. So to me, the splash that the Falcons are going to make that the fans have been waiting for is going to be either after June 1st, or it also could be right here at May 1st or April 30th for the first round of this draft. The splash is going to be in those two areas.
Right, right. And again, that's just being strategic. That's you know, and we fought so hard for a guy like Quinn to come in here. You know, we got to kind of hit the pause button a little bit. And I had to talk myself off the ledge, I won't lie, a couple of times. But at the end of the day, I think this guy knows what he's doing. I really do. So I'm gonna take the wait and see approach.
And whether you knew it or not, we were watching out for our assets here at Impact Media. We had actually glued your shoes to the platform you're standing on, so we weren't worried about you on the ledge.
Is that why I couldn't jump?
you kept trying, but you know we double Velcroed those shoes and we actually glued them to the We would say what kind of glue, but they don't sponsor the show. So just know it was really good glue that kept you on the ledge.
Well, I sure appreciate that because I'm actually kind of glad you guys did that now.
You know, we have to protect our own here.
Hey, I love it.
I do have the new numbers in front of me here. I will pretty much just hit the big ones because a couple of these guys I'm going to have to look up myself. O'Brien Schofield, the linebacker, is number 50. Justin Durant is number 52. Nate Stupar has moved to 54. Brooks Reed is 56.
Okay.
Mike Person is 68. Tony Miyake is 81. Jacob Tammy is 83. Leonard Hankerson's grabbing Ocho Cinco.
Okay.
That'll be fun. You know, I'm going to do my best to meet Leonard this year, and I'm going to call him, like, Ocho Cinco South or something.
Right.
Just for wearing that. One of the show's favorites, and by far one of my favorites that I've met, Prince Chimbo's moving to 91.
Wow.
Maybe there's a story to that one I'd like to hear. Oh, okay. I see the asterisk beside it here. Him and Tyson Jackson, who moves to 94, they switched jersey numbers with a new player. So they had a number that maybe Justin Durant, who moved to 52, maybe Shimbo was 52, and he said, you can have it. You know, you're the tenured guy, or maybe they worked out a deal. I don't know, maybe he bought him a Coney dog or something. Whatever it was, he swapped to that. And then, of course, Adrian Claiborne is going to take the Warren Sapp 99.
Well, you know what? One of the things that another buddy of mine brought to my attention about these moves and the flurry of moves is it shows the level of commitment that these players have to each other already. And that was something that's interesting to see. Usually that's kind of a big debacle and buy me a Rolex and, you know, all of these other madness that goes on with those number changes. And we don't know what, you know, what the compensation was, if any. But, you know, it just shows the level of commitment that he being Dan Quinn, has already instilled in his team.
Yeah, that's kind of the general consensus. You know, you mentioned the other two major sports teams here in Atlanta. It seems to be the general consensus, like, we're going to compile a great group of guys who can learn and respect each other and play together as a team, as opposed to just trying to stack a bunch of stars and hope for the best.
Right. I like it. I mean, it's already shown its worth in those other two franchises. The Braves are very early in their season, but you know, definitely with our basketball team, I mean, it's really, really shown its worth. Danny Ferry knew what he was doing, and props out to him, as well as Coach Budenholzer.
Yeah, I think they. I base a lot of the way I phrase things on a book I read back in business school, Good to Great. If you guys haven't read it, it's definitely worth reading. But on there, it talks about not only getting the right people on the bus, but getting those people in the right seats on the bus so that it can run smoothly. And I definitely think that all the Atlanta franchises are only a few pieces away from getting where they really want to get.
Right, which is more than the one lone championship we have in the city.
Yeah, which is just weird. I mean, you know, of course, that's as many as New Orleans has, but New Orleans really only has two teams, where at one point there were three to four, you know, at every given point, there's three to four major sports here in Atlanta.
Right. And we got the new soccer team coming, so.
Yes, I'm actually getting a little excited about that. After football kind of winded down game-wise in February, I've been able to pick up following the English Premier League soccer, and I've tried to get in MLS a little more because I used to watch soccer back in the day, back before I really started doing all this media stuff, and It took a while to grow on me, but I can really get a lot of enjoyment out of a lot of different parts of games.
Right. The World Cup did it for me. I followed it off and on. My sister played in high school, so I got my initial exposure there. But the World Cup is what sold me. I mean, just the fact that, you know, to see how rabid the fans are for a game that we think is so mundane sometimes. You find yourself watching all 80 minutes. So I'm excited about the team coming as well.
Hey, you must nod off to sleep like I do. It's actually 90 minutes, but
hey, I think there it is. See, I'm still learning.
I say, you're missing a lot. You're missing the last 10 minutes. That's usually when, like, crazy things happen.
Right.
But no, you probably meant to say 90. You're doing like me. We're thinking in so many different directions that everything kind of snuck up on us, and it's been an entertaining week, at least on my side, and I'm just happy that tomorrow's Friday.
Yes. Yes. Although I got prom tomorrow, so my daughter has prom tomorrow, so it's going to be. I got to put my mean mug face on tomorrow for a date.
Got to show him the underground bunkers and the like.
Nah, I just laid all my guns out on the table.
You know, which is legal in this state. I just want to add that. You know,
absolutely.
Had Greg Hardy, you know, just shown them to his lady friend, I don't think there would have been much of a problem.
Hey, well, yeah. I'm going to leave that one alone.
Exactly. That is as far into that case as we will get. But hitting on a few of the quick news and notes as far as Falcons, then we'll get into some of the bigger stuff with the Falcons. There is a free football clinic for moms coming up. I always think this is really cool. They show you the proper way to put on equipment, the way to teach kids and how to handle little kids, and show them the right way to play.
Right, and that's one of the things I think also Coach Quinn brings, because I know he's definitely using the same tactics he used in Seattle and bringing in the rugby players to kind of show proper tackling techniques. Coach Hill and I have had some conversations about trying to do this a little bit more at the Pop Warner level, because I think that's where it's going to have to start, and we're going to have to take it upon ourselves if you have an impact in that coaching area to start getting ahead of some of these concussion issues and CTE issues, and I think that's where it starts. So that's great that they're doing something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. They're actually stepping up their game a little bit. I'm not going to say I would put them in the bottom third, but the Falcons organization in general has usually been about middle of the pack as far as these interactive type things, whether it be clinics for moms or whether it be they do a lot in the community, but sometimes it's more about showing up than, you know, maybe than donating the money. The money helps, but they're starting to really, maybe it's this crop of guys they're bringing in actually want to get out there and plant the flowers and not just pay for them.
Well, again, I think, again, that's what you get with the younger, hungrier players who may not necessarily be the marquee, most spoken about players in the media. Is, you know, sometimes when those guys, and we've run across those guys, we know a lot of those guys, where you know, sometimes, unfortunately, when you're around them, you know, they expect you to be star-crossed and starry-eyed, and so they don't interact as much as they usually would. So I think this is probably a byproduct of that.
Yeah, probably so. You know, we see the changes, and not just because we're media, but we're so involved with a lot of this stuff. And even the fans, or the rumblings of the fans, you're starting to see everything turn around here. Next thing I wanted to mention was that Matt Ryan raised over $90,000 for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta for his annual golf outing. I think Harper played in that one. Harper LaBelle, a friend of the show's. I'm going to have to check and see.
I'm pretty sure he did as well.
I'm pretty sure. I haven't spoken to him in a couple recent weeks, so I'll have to reach out and see. And we're hoping to have him on maybe before the big draft show, which will more than likely not be on draft Thursday, but we're still working out the kinks on that one. But the thing that struck me is it was pretty entertaining. By entertaining, I had to pick myself off the floor a few times because every time I see the picture, I start laughing, which is why I'm not looking at it now. The winner of Matt Ryan's annual tournament gets a particular special prize, the winning team does. I don't know if you heard what it was, but you get a autographed Matt Ryan football. So when Matt's team won this year, he won an autographed football from himself.
Little narcissistic, maybe. Well, maybe he doesn't have one.
Well, he definitely doesn't have one because he did the Super Matt Ryan thing. No matter how much we bash him or anybody else does, he has more good qualities than bad for sure. And I believe he gave it to a returning war veteran, or it was military related. I don't remember exactly who he gave it to, but he turned and just gave it straight to the I think it was a returning war hero that was at the tournament. So,
wow. How about that? Good job, Matt.
Exactly. We can't call him Captain America because so many other people in sports have that, so we'll call him Captain Atlanta or something for now.
Hey, I like that one, too. I think he'll like that one.
You know, I wouldn't mind if there was a C put on his jersey. Let's pull the old hockey rule out and show everybody that he's the guy.
Right, right.
Because the more it goes along, the more I think he is. And I know I've said in the past that I didn't think he was that guy, but I don't know, just in the recent 365 days, you're seeing this evolution of him realizing that it's him, and he's kind of, you know, throwing his arms around the city and really embracing it.
Right, and I think that you'll see more of that. I think between him and Julio, I think those are the two guys that are going to be leaned on the most to be the face of this franchise, and they're going to be the ones responsible for making it happen.
Yep, absolutely. The Falcons also have a contest, and of course you can go to AtlantaFalcons.com. I'm sure they love the plugs that we give them. But AtlantaFalcons.com has all this and more. But they have a Guess the Schedule contest where you can win two season tickets. Now, I need to hurry up and get on here and do this because I think I about have it figured out. But they have banners up everywhere. There's links all over the place. But I definitely think it'd be worth two season tickets. And you never know. If they're a little further down than yours, Reggie, maybe we can start swapping out.
Hey, man. And if I win them, then we'll just have four. How about
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Yeah, we can start entertaining some fans maybe and have some contests and maybe raise some money for some people.
Hey, man, especially those kids that are doing phenomenally in school, I would have no issues whatsoever giving up seats to those guys.
Absolutely. We'll get to Quinn's statements in a minute. I do enjoy following him on Twitter. I actually make sure that those are sent to my phone because they are kind of uplifting. I like the way he says things.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely embraced the city. And again, that's 12th man perspective that he brings to this thing, and I like it. I like it. We needed that.
Yeah, I think we definitely did. And it's nothing personal to Smitty, but Dan Quinn is a little more motivational with the way he speaks. I think they're similar in the way they coach, but I think motivationally, he's more of the try to pep you up all the time type guy.
Well, now we see why he was the front runner. I mean,
right.
In watching him and following him on Twitter, I now see why he was the front runner.
He is just he is. That's why you wait. You wait on guys like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
They did finally release, and it has bugged the crap out of me. They've not done this. Speaking of schedule, they are sure taking their sweet time with the preseason schedule. But they did finally release it, and of course. There's going to be the home game in the Dome somewhere in week one of the preseason against the Tennessee Titans. At that point, Phillip Rivers could be there. That could be fun. All these games will be on CW69. Week two, they're going to the New Meadowlands to take on the Jets. Still
right.
Haven't figured out date and time there. None of these date and times have been figured out unless they're TV games, and none of these are. Week three, they'll be in South Beach against the Dolphins. And week four, Joe Flacco and the Ravens will be here in the Dome. Which one of these are you looking forward to?
All of them, actually. But no, seriously, probably, depending upon the draft, the Titans game should be fun. But definitely the Ravens game. I want some get back. You know, they spanked us pretty good up there in Baltimore. So I kind of want some get back on that.
Yeah, I got to say the Ravens, and I'll get more into it as we get into end zone. I think they are definitely a team to look out for this year. They just quietly hang around this whole time, and then, I mean, the Patriots hate playing them for sure in the playoffs because that's usually who eliminates New England.
Right, although, you know what, the Falcons at the Jets might be fun. That could be fun, too. But
by
far the Ravens. I think even out of the two of those, the Ravens.
Yeah, I would definitely agree there. Getting into a quote from Dan Quinn, and this will kind of segue into the last things we'll kind of go into here. He said, quote, "We nailed it," unquote, and he was talking about free agency. I like his positivity and stuff like that, but I'm not sure what he's talking about nailing unless he, like, went to Home Depot on a Saturday and helped somebody make a birdhouse. Who exactly did they sign that was amazing enough to say we nailed it?
That's just it. I don't think they signed anybody. And I think that's the sentiments of the fan base is, you know, we picked up a few guys, but not really people we thought we needed, you know. So, yeah, I think there's a TBD on that statement. I'm with you. I like the positivity, but maybe he's foreshadowing.
Or maybe what he means by it is we nailed it as far as we didn't really overpay anybody, we didn't overextend or reach, and, you know, we got it under control. We may not have added a big name, but we're adding some solid depth.
Yeah, one of the things that I think was the theme for free agency for Atlanta was high risk, high reward is probably the theme. I mean, Adrian Claiborne, you know, Justin Durant. I mean, Brooks Reed, man, probably fits about the lower end of that category. But, you know, Adrian Claiborne is one of those guys that, you know, when if that guy comes in and becomes the player that he could have been and should have been, barring the injuries, then you're going to get a very high-impact player for, you know, a third of the cost. And I, when I had to think about it, I thought about Michael Bennett. And that if people remember or recall, Seattle got him for pennies on the dollar. And he credits Dan Quinn for resurrecting his career. So I'm guessing that, you know, he's holding true to what he's been known for and gone after these high-risk, high-reward players. So I think instead of we nailed it, you know, high-risk, high-reward might have been a better statement.
Yeah, it definitely could be. You know, what positions still need to be filled at this moment? I mean, clearly, I think defensive end slash pass rusher, they added some linebackers because of Quinn's scheme and stuff like that. And I would say safety is the next biggest need.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to say running back. I think you know, getting rid of or releasing Steven Jackson was the right thing. And I think Devontae Freeman can be that guy over time. But I still think they're still missing that impact guy that when you're talking about going to a zone blocking scheme and taking a little bit more off of the pass, I think they still missed the stick with the running back. I mean, there's still a couple of guys that I hate to talk about right now because a lot of people wouldn't want to touch this one guy that I'm thinking that's still out there. But I think running back. Running back is, I mean, after pass rush, I think running back is definitely where we missed the mark at. And here's why I didn't say safety. I don't know if you caught in the offseason that Robert Alford has been working with Ryan Clark in the offseason.
Uh-huh.
So he's been actually converting himself to a safety position. So I think that's why I'm okay at safety right now. I think with that guy moving over, if he does indeed make the transition, I think he'll be okay. I think we'll be okay with safety.
Yeah, I like that move for sure. And,
right, but
you
running
know,
back, definitely, I think we still kind of need that guy, guy that can come in and get you 100-yard games every week if you need it.
And that guy of which you're not mentioning, and I don't think we'll mention his name just to see if people can figure it out, would his former team be playing against the Falcons in the preseason?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's exactly who I was thinking. I made that argument on Jaguar Zone a couple weeks ago, and I would make that same argument here. He's one of those guys that I would go, that's over with. Let's turn the page. Let's read another chapter. Let's let him start making history.
And on top of that, guess what? At this point, you won't have to break the bank on him.
Exactly. At this point, it's literally barrels of peanuts he would play for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can even give him a 1 or 2 year deal at this point and you know, play that role if you want to. But, yeah, I think that would satisfy me at running back if they were to make that move.
Absolutely. The last few things we'll get into at Falcon Zone, they have this contest where you can meet the first-round pick through the Falcons. There's like a contest, there's like a little draft party and stuff like that. It'd be kind of cool to meet him. We're going to do our best on this show to maybe have him on sometime or at least shake hands with him, see how it's going to go. Which leads me to the last thing. who do you think, as of right now, the Falcons are going to pick at number 8?
I think if Vic Beasley is there, that's who they get.
That's who most excites me about being a possible Falcon. I would definitely agree there.
I would have gone with Randy Gregory. I just don't think we can handle the recent offseason issue.
Yeah, I don't think he fits the mold just for that reason.
No, but Vic Beasley, I think, is our guy. If he's available, I think he's our guy.
Well, and let me throw this scenario out there because it's one I've debated probably for a month now. If there's a big run on all these pass rushers in picks 3 through 7, because I think I have 1-2 pegged already. I think we all do. Instead of reaching, you talk about the running back position. Is it worth trying to bring that hometown boy just right down the highway?
I think if you can trade down, yes. I wouldn't pick him at 8.
I absolutely agree. Nothing personal. One of the most stand-up human beings. You know, a good friend of mine and a good friend of my family's used to be a manager for the team for 4 years, and he tells me how class act that guy is. And I just, nothing personal, but especially coming off an injury, I do not want to pick you in the top 10.
No, because he's not ready. He's not going to be ready either way day one.
Exactly.
But yes, if you can maybe trade down, and let's just say in your scenario, a Marcus Mariota is still available.
Right.
You've got an Eagles team that wants to trade up and give you their pick and, you know, their second-round pick or whatever, the amount of picks it would take for them to move up that high. Absolutely, you do it, and then you take him at the end of the first round because now you've got your second round. You've probably got a boatload of picks. Second and third round to really go get after some of those other players.
Right. Yeah, I agree, definitely moving down. And for one, Mariota's not going to be there at 8, but I think you can still move down. There's some guys that are going to want to move up, and you make it even add a player in the process. As far as the Eagles are concerned, we clearly don't want Sam Bradford, which to me is about the only piece that they would let go of.
Right.
And I feel bad for the guy, even though this is end zone related, and we'll be in end zone in a few minutes. I feel bad that the local Philadelphia area sports stores refuse to carry his jersey because they're not sure he's going to be on the team either.
Right, right. I'm not really sure what that was about. There can always be some cash issues or whatever going on behind the scenes that caused that, but I don't think he's going to be anywhere near the starting quarterback come day one.
No, I definitely don't think you will be. But that's going to pretty much wrap up Falcon Zone for us. At the other side of the break, we will come on and get through as much end zone as possible until Reggie have to leave, and then I'll try to hold down the fort and finish it up. But for the King ATL and Reggie Walker, I am Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you on the other side for end zone.
Ooh.
The Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. And that's right, we are back here on Blog Talk Radio for End Zone. I am Jeremy the Impact York, joined once again by the King ATL and Reggie Walker. Welcome back, Reggie.
Yes, sir. Good to be back, Jeremy.
You know, we'll try to get through as many of these as possible because I do know you have other engagements and need to get out of here in a few minutes. Is there anything in particular on the docket that you want to hit first? And we're checking. I think Reggie's microphone got turned off there. Reggie, you still with us?
Yep, I'm still here. Yes, sir, Jeremy. The one that I really want to talk about, because it's probably on the forefront right now, is Peterson's meeting with Goodell about reinstatement.
Absolutely. I reported earlier on my Facebook and Twitter account the latest update on that one, and I'm sure you heard it as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that is that Mr. Peterson is reinstated as of tomorrow morning.
Yes, and no one knows what's going to happen with his tenure in Minnesota and if he's actually going to be there or not. So it's going to be interesting to see whether he forces his way out of there. Dallas has been mentioned as that team that maybe cleared out just enough cap space to get him. And I even heard about your other team down south a little bit here that could possibly make a run for him as well.
Yep, there are three teams I have heard about. I'm pretty sure he's done in Minnesota because Minnesota does want to keep him because obviously he's still a top three running back, top five depending on who you ask, and they are going to do everything to keep him. But him and his agent are pretty much already trying to book their tickets out of Minnesota.
Wow. And again, it all comes back to support, you know.
Right.
It's going to be interesting, or it's going to be weird to see him in another uniform, because I never thought I would. But sometimes, man, that support, you know, from when you don't feel that support and that love, you can't keep them.
Right. And the three teams being talked about, obviously, as possible destinations. You mentioned two already. In Dallas and possibly Jacksonville, who was kind of the sneaky other option, because there's not really a weighted. There's nobody really ahead of each other. This is like Red Rover here. There's three guys lined up. And
right.
The third one obviously being the Arizona Cardinals.
Wow. Now that would be – that I can see. I can see Bruce Arians doing what it takes to bring that guy in, and if they can get him there – man, with some of the free agent acquisitions they had, plus what they already had in place, that could make Arizona an extremely dangerous team.
Oh, absolutely. They already kind of scare me on a couple levels, but you add Adrian Peterson to, you know, if Carson Palmer can come back even at 80%, they suddenly become a factor for sure.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt.
You know, I wonder, we should contact Seattle about maybe trying to keep Adrian Peterson out of that division, because, you know, that could tip it towards the favor of Arizona. Maybe they'd be willing to maybe give Jacksonville some compensation, maybe extra draft picks just to make sure they land him.
Well, you know what, and you just brought up an interesting point, because, you know, Seattle's obvious trade with to get Mr. Graham up there, you know, shook the airwaves across the NFL. So maybe that might be their counterstrike.
Yeah, maybe it could be.
Right, right.
I definitely like that Graham move. I remember when talking about it on here, it actually excited me as a fan, a media member, and just a human being in this country. That's
well,
like
you know what?
Right
I tell
there.
You what, they have definitely now between getting Graham and re-signing Marshawn Lynch, they have given Russell Wilson just about everything he needs to create a dynasty.
Right.
I still think they need somebody, an impact player, as a receiver slot, but I think they've just about given him everything he needs at this point.
Yep. I think their first pick of the draft, which will be in the second round, if they keep that one, I think they're going to draft one of the better wideouts left on the board, and he's going to be their focal point.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, shout out to Pete Carroll and and those guys, man, they have really turned that team around, and they're always in the conversation now, and that's what you want. You want a team that slowly but surely becomes a part of the everyday conversation of every season, and that's how you sell out stadiums, man.
Yep. And as far as the other draft day trade, because I think the Adrian Peterson trade would be a draft day related trade. The other one that is intriguing, and I actually heard Ross Tucker on, I think he's the only guy who does about as many shows a week as I do as far as podcasts and videocasts. He was talking earlier about this one, about something I had never thought about, and that would be Phillip Rivers to Tennessee for the number 2 overall pick and some other related package so that the so that San Diego could move on to the Marcus Mariota era.
You know what? I think that would be a phenomenal trade. There's a lot of people that are frowning on that trade, and here's why. Phillip Rivers, I mean, he's an East Coast guy. He's an NC State guy. Marcus Mariota is obviously an Oregon guy, so you've got that connection there. But I think Phillip has done all that he can in San Diego. You know, sometimes you get to a point where a guy just needs a change of scenery. And you know, now that Tennessee has the Dick LeBeau era has begun on the defensive side, they're obviously going to get better. They've got one of my favorite receivers there now with Harry Douglas, and they've got some good pieces. I think that's a great trade for both teams, man. I think Mariota would fit well in the San Diego culture. I think he would fit well in that scheme and that offense. It gives them a young team something to build around. And I just think, you know, on the flip side of that, it gives kind of Phillip an opportunity to get a fresh start.
Right. And the part I brought up about Ross Tucker, and he was a journeyman lineman who played in the league. I think he played for 6 or 7 different teams in about 8 or 9 years. Could play anywhere on the offensive line. I kind of wish he still played. Wouldn't mind having him in Jacksonville or Atlanta. But he mentioned with the guest he had on that the hang-up on this one is San Diego needs to know that Tampa Bay is not choosing Mariota to know he's there at 2. So you can't even try to negotiate. At some point, Phillip Rivers and his agent are going to want an extension on top of this. Hey, if I get traded to Tennessee, I want a big extension, knowing that I'm going to be a part of the plan for the next 3 or 4 years or however long he wants to play. So there's all these kind of caveats waiting back and forth this way, and the only way to know for sure is for Tampa to come out and say, hey, we're not necessarily saying who we're picking, we're just not going to go Mariota.
Well, you know what, here's a Jimmy the Greek moment for Reggie. I would not be surprised if Jameis Winston hasn't already started going over the contract with Tampa Bay. I mean, it's a no-brainer for Tampa Bay. Yeah, we can go back and forth and maybe not. I think Jameis Winston's their guy. And I think, again, it's that we talked about on the last segment, the high-risk, high-reward factors. I think it's worth the risk either way, because even if you don't get Mariota, you can't lose with Jameis Winston either.
No.
So, I mean, you know, it's a win-win situation for both teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And update on that, Jameis Winston has spent a lot of time in the Tampa-St. Pete area in the last 30 days or so.
Right. I think we all be shocked if Jameis didn't go to Tampa Bay at number 1.
Well, I just think
it makes
funny.
Way too much.
That's true. And I think it's real funny that it's possible that 3 of the first top 5 draft picks may not even be there live to shake Goodell's hand. They may all be at home because Mariota, Winston, and I don't know which wide receiver it was. It was either Cooper or White that have said they're going to stay home from the draft as well. So 3 of the first 5 possible picks this year may not even be on screen when they get picked.
Right, right. I thought that was really interesting. Jameis, I kind of understood with some of the off-field stuff, and you don't really want the booing and the jeering going on. Maybe.
Yeah.
This is one of the few deep drafts we've had in a while, and I just can't. I mean, 2 of the top quarterbacks that have been in the draft in quite some time, probably since Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning. I just don't understand why the NFL didn't take advantage of that publicity.
Well, I mean, you could go back and say the Luck RG3 thing, it was kind of this big quarterback debate, which one to take, it's a coin flip either way. You know, I would give you going back, actually, if you go back to that Eli Rivers year, Rivers was the third or fourth best quarterback on the board at that point, but that's who San Diego wanted, because when they drafted Eli, Eli said, I've told you 1,000 times I'm not playing in San Diego. When the Giants decided to be the dance partner, yeah, when they decided to be the dance partner, they said, well, who would you like us to draft, and we'll go straight up. And they said, we want Rivers. Because Ben Roethlisberger was number two best quarterback in that draft behind Eli Manning, and he got shuffled down to Pittsburgh at like 18 or 20 because of it.
Wow. And so, you know what? And you're always stumping us, Jeremy. So I'm going to try to stump you here real quick.
Okay.
When's the last time in an NFL draft that a quarterback has been taken both number one and number two overall? You don't have to answer it now. I'll even allow you to go research, and we'll do it on next week's show.
Well, I have a guess off the top of my head, and then I'll try to research it when the show's over, or if one of our listeners or even one of our featured guests sometimes want to call into 347-826-7448 and either correct me or tell me I was right. I think it goes back to Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf. I want to say they went 1-2 that year because the Colts had it down to the two of them. They decided to go with Manning. I believe San Diego had the second pick, and they went Ryan Leaf.
Well, you know what, Mr. Jeremy? You actually, I had already mentioned it.
Luck RG3.
It was Luck RG3.
Because it was the famous trade where the Rams picked up like 8 potential All-Stars for giving up the number 2 pick.
Absolutely. And it actually, Luck RG3 was the fifth time that quarterbacks were taken 1 and 2.
Do you have the other 4?
I will.
Okay. No, I didn't know if you had a list or something like that. That's why I was.
No, I don't. I don't have a list. I ran across it the other day, but I didn't go research the other four. And it was the gist of the article was just that this would be the sixth time that two quarterbacks were taken first and second.
And we still never know. For all we know, a punter could go first overall. It's very unlikely, but that's part of the draft. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
I'm going to try to hit some of the bigger stuff because I know we're on limited time here.
How about let's go with Polamalu, man. Let's give that guy his powers.
Troy Polamalu, and then now also Ike Taylor. So there's literally almost nobody in the secondary for Pittsburgh at the current moment. But I do want to talk Troy Polamalu because I've always been a huge fan of the way he plays, and he's one of three players, I believe, in recent history that 10 guys learned the play on defense, and he does whatever he wants to do.
Yes, and on top of being just a stand-up guy,
absolutely.
And I never met him personally, but just what you see of him in the media, I think he's a Hall of Famer, personally. I don't know what your thoughts are about him, but he's the one Pittsburgh Steeler player, new era Pittsburgh Steeler player, aside from Jerome Bettis and maybe Hines Ward, that I really like.
Yeah, I would definitely. And I like Heath Miller's okay. I'm trying to think of the big lineman with the big beard.
Pouncey.
No, not Pouncey. I do like Pouncey. I like both Pounceys, even though they tend to like to party a bit too, which is fine. But as far as Polamalu, it was the three players that come to mind as far as having the free reign to do what they want. And I'll tell you a Bill Cowher story in a minute because he said one of his favorite Polamalu ones. It was Polamalu, it's Ed Reed, and it's Junior Seau were the three players that 10 guys know the play. Those guys do what they see.
Right. And then you got to add Ray Lewis to that mix too. Well, I think Ray Lewis is a hybrid because I think he knew the play And he just does what he sees.
Oh, he knew the play because he called the play, but he would still do what he thought was necessary, and that's kind of what made him that extended level.
Absolutely. So happy trails to Troy Polamalu. I mean, class act, and he had a great career.
And still has amazing hair. So, you know, more power to him.
Right.
I wish I had hair like that. I would actually wear it long. Ike Taylor retired as well. Also another great Steeler, I would say. I really don't know what they're going to do in their secondary. They're going to literally have to draft pretty much all corners and safeties just to make up for it.
Yeah, they've got a lot of work to do on that defensive side, and losing Dick LeBeau didn't help.
No, it didn't.
Hey, maybe we should call them and tell them they need to reach out to Coach Hill.
You know, I know he's busy right now. It could actually be a post-draft that we actually can get him back in the studio here, which is fine because I know if he's busy that a lot of good things are getting done.
Right, absolutely.
And shout out to him here because I know he will listen to us here when he gets a chance, if he's not listening live. So shout out to Coach Hill for the amazing work he's doing, and we look forward to hearing about what he can actually tell us when he comes back on.
Right.
did want to mention the first female referee, Sarah Thomas, will be starting play this year. And, you know, also I report on the Texas Revolution for Impact Media. They not only had the first woman to play at a men's pro football level with Jen Welter, who was my guest this week, by the way, to plug my show while I'm at it, but also she's now the first woman coach in a men's professional football environment. And she brought up that Bruce Arians, who seems to be the popular guy to talk about right now, which is fine. I like the guy a lot. He actually brought up that he thinks that female head coaches could be and are the future of the league. What do you think about this?
Well, for the sake of being politically correct, yes, anything is possible. I don't know. I think we'll see it faster in basketball, maybe,
right,
before you see it in football, because there's nothing to compare it to. And what I mean by that, where else are women really coaching football? You know,
right.
I think it'll have to happen at the collegiate level first. And I say basketball because, you know, Pat Summitt, who no longer coaches, obviously, because of her ailments. I mean,
right.
I certainly saw an opportunity where she could have easily gone into an NBA team and turned that team around. So, yeah, I think it'll happen at some point, but I think it'll happen collegiately first.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I've done my best to get Jen Welter's name and story in front of Bruce Arians, just trying to do my part to help her out. Not only is she just super intelligent and awesome, but she really knows what she's talking about with football. She lives and breathes it just like we all do. So, you know, maybe she's that first pioneer. But I agree as far as I think it'll be collegiate, and I think it'll be the NBA first.
Right.
I really think it could be the Spurs, because Popovich has either an assistant or the assistant head coach. I can't think of her name, but she is as qualified as Budenholzer was, who now took over Atlanta. So
right,
I think
right.
It can only be a couple years, and we'll see her in charge of a team.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it'll happen. I think it should happen.
Yeah, exactly. You know, gender shouldn't be the base, how you base how competent somebody can coach a team. If you can do the job, do the job.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And real quick, Jeremy, before you move on, Stat Guy did give me those other instances that one and twos were taken as quarterbacks. The first time it was taken, it was interesting. Jim Plunkett and Archie Manning.
Ah, forgot about that one.
93 was Drew Bledsoe and Rick Meyer.
Wow.
And then came, this was interesting, I forgot about this, Tim Couch and Donovan McNabb.
Oh, wow, forgot about that. And Couch was taken first, wasn't he?
He was, by the Cleveland Browns. And
before
that, that was the Manning Ryan Leaf picks.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
I forgot about Couch. Yeah, I forgot about that, him and McNabb.
I did, too.
There's actually a kid, he's a redshirt freshman for Georgia State. Got a chance to see him at the Blue-White game on Saturday. His name is Amir Scaife, and he reminds me. He reminds me of a left-handed McNabb. He's got a hell of an arm, can scramble when he needs to, but makes a lot of precise passes. He was hitting everybody in the sweet spot. He was throwing it in front of his receivers, back shoulder throws. The future looks bright once Nick Arbuckle, the current and senior quarterback, when he moves on after this year, when Scaife takes over, it's going to be quite fun to go to the Dome and watch those games.
Oh, man, I plan on taking a couple of them in to go support Harper and as well this year.
Yeah, we'll go down there with Impact Media and everything, and I'll introduce you to a few people I know, and we'll have a good time because those kids are super talented, and they're starting to really get on the recruiting trail and getting all kinds of talent in the door.
Wow. And you know who that program was started by, right? You know what college he came out of.
You come out of Tech, do you not?
Absolutely. Former head coach.
Yep, I thought so. I give Tech my due diligence credit. I have a lot of friends, including one of my best friends in the world, and a contributor to Impact Media a lot, John Watts, graduated from Georgia Tech. So I spent a lot of time during those 4, 5, 6, I can't remember, sorry, John, but I know I went to college longer than he did, but all those years, it was the Calvin Johnson years when he was up there, and I actually saw him a few times on campus, but yeah, I always give my props to UGA and Tech because there's been some pretty amazing people come out of there.
Yeah, we'll have to go down and catch a game, man. I've got my season tickets coming in now, and short of the Florida State game with someone, and the Georgia game, obviously, which someone has already requested that they go with me. Just pick one of the home games, man, and you and I'll go down and check them out.
All right, I'll pull up the schedule and look at it. And do you have a few minutes, or do you need to head out?
No. I'm good. I'm actually good.
Okay.
I posted what I needed to postpone so we can finish up.
Okay. And I just got the message passed across to it. All right. Awesome. Stat guys. I guess he was on it with your stats, but wasn't on it on passing messages. So we'll get at him at that one. He won't be fired again this week. It may be a new contest. Pick a week when you think he might be fired. Real quickly, let's get into the Aaron Hernandez verdict, which was, of course, he was found guilty on all levels, first-degree murder. And I guess the tidbit that I found out today about it is he will actually be his new home and behind the concrete and steel is actually about a mile and a half from Gillette Stadium.
Right.
So maybe he can look out his window and go, I should be there.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have a Stephen A. Smith moment here, if I might, Jeremy.
Do I need to get ready on the dump button here? Or we got to keep
it? I'll simply say this. You know what? I think when you have that kind of talent and you waste it staying where you came from, I think it's you know, we all are what we are, right? I mean, you and I both came from where we came from. But maturity has to set in at some point, you know. And when you're a high-profile player, you've been given the opportunity that, you know, there are so many children and so many kids that want to get out there and have that opportunity to play, and you do it with this foolishness. I didn't feel sorry for him at all. And it's unfortunate and it's sad, and my sympathies to the families that have been affected by this. But, you know, he's where he belongs, and I'll just say that. He's where he belongs. I didn't have any sympathy for him at all.
Yep, that's true, and I will definitely agree there. I think our justice system, whether you agree with
to take another man's life, I mean, come on. You know,
exactly.
Nobody gave us that power. No one on this earth has that power.
Well, and we don't know that
so
he's necessarily...
I think he got what he got.
We don't know that he's necessarily done either, because... He's going to be tried for he shot the one guy in the face that's suing him right now, and he's going to be tried for the double murder from like 2012 or 2010. So, you know, he may not be done.
The precedent's already there.
Yeah.
You know what? And I was talking, me and my son, my youngest son was talking about this today. He goes, Dad, but, you know, he's always looking at things from a criminal justice logical perspective. Dad, they didn't have a murder weapon, and they had evidence that he was in a club and blah, 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 blah. I go, listen, whatever it was that they had was so compelling that he still got convicted of first-degree murder, it had to be so compelling. And I tell them all the time, you know, be careful of the path that you set and the trail that you lead.
Right.
You know, if you're a guy that's never been in trouble, it's easy to get out of stuff like that if you have the evidence, right? But when you have a history of that, I think you know, fortunately for the jurors, they got it right. I don't know the guy personally, and I feel sorry for it, you know, his family and all of that. But I think they got it right this time. I mean, you're here to play football, man, not go out and still do those crazy things. There are plenty of crazy things I did as a kid, and
right.
I could have been a product of my environment. But I made a conscious decision to not be.
Exactly.
And we all have that choice.
Exactly. There's a reason why a handful of years ago I got rid of as many negative influences around me, because it would have took me down a path I didn't want to go, and I realized quick enough. And you know, some of the people I've had on all the media ventures, some of the people we've even had on, they try to reach out to the kids the same way we do and try to keep people on a better path. And I think if everybody just chose one person and tried to make sure they're making positive choices, I think we'll be a lot better off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, happy trails to them.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. I guess we'll go to one more kind of, I guess, not necessarily negative story. It is, but, you know, one more down moment, and then we'll talk about upbeat stuff the rest of the time.
Hey, I like that.
Yeah. I try to group them together because we got to end on a positive note, and there's plenty of them going. Will Allen, who's played in the league for a handful of years, has been accused of running a Ponzi scheme. I don't know if you know a whole lot about Ponzi schemes, but pretty much he's trying to cheat people out of money through fake investments and stuff like that. What do you think about all that?
Unfortunately, a very good classmate friend of mine is spending time right now in a penitentiary for doing something similar. So, again, it's one of those things. You know, there are so many ways. Being an entrepreneur, we're all, you and I both, you know, entrepreneurs doing things that are positively bringing about income. And there's just so many different ways of making money these days. You know, to cheat people, I you know, come on, knowingly cheating people, and let me rephrase that, knowingly cheating people, because there are instances where you don't know what happened and why it happened, but
right.
Ponzi schemes we know, you know,
yep.
We've seen them enough, so I hadn't heard about that, so I'll let you get some more light on that, because I hadn't heard about this one.
Yeah, all the article that I read, and when I reached out to try to get some feelers about it, pretty much that's all anybody else knows right now. I think it's on its way to going to court. I'm not sure where exactly it is, but, you know, for his sake and for the sake of the victims, I hope that they're able to straighten it all out, figure it out, and you know, like I said, make sure that the victims aren't the victims anymore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In this world, man, we got so much other madness going on. At some point, we got to be able to believe in each other again, and this doesn't help.
No.
No, I was just saying, I hope he's innocent.
Yeah, I hope he is too. I hope it was just maybe he was pulled in as a partner and didn't realize what the other partner was doing. You know, those kind of things happen because athletes get taken just as easy as we do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. So we won't play judge and jury, but if he is guilty, I hope he gets what he deserves.
Exactly. And if he's not, you know, like you said, I hope it's proven innocent and they can straighten it out for everybody involved.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Let's go Percy Harvin next. Percy Harvin was quoted as saying, "The world hasn't seen me really explode yet." I'm not sure what – I guess he's saying that he's better than he's played so far, and I don't know if he's blaming the teams he's been on, but at one point he was a Seahawk, and they couldn't make it work. So I think we've seen the best Percy Harvin.
Well, you know what? I think, again, he's one of those guys that has the talent. Injuries obviously have been to blame on the forefront. But everywhere he's gone, it seems like attitude is an issue. Maybe, from what I understand, he's a bit, and I say this lightly, he's a bit of a prima donna, if you will. And, again, another situation. It's unfortunate when you have he needs to go sit down and talk with Terrell Owens. You know, I think Terrell Owens could be beneficial in probably helping this guy get his career back on track.
Absolutely. I would agree on that. I think T.O. would be a great person for him to sit down with, and he can just it is – you know, there was that whole receiver class, and you can kind of group him in with those guys and the Ocho Cincos, and Randy Moss even could be a little bit of a diva at times, where they have larger-than-life personalities and sometimes just perceive the wrong way, and sometimes they get a little too full of themselves, and it actually detracts from their talent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I read that the same time you did, earlier. I wondered the same thing. What is he talking about? You know, he's had his opportunities. He obviously has the talent. But in two situations so far, you haven't panned out. I'm hoping he does what he needs to do with the Jets now, but who knows?
Yeah, because nothing personal, but it is the Jets where a lot of quarterbacks and wide receivers go to die, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go ahead and throw that one out there because, you know, I hope they right the ship because it'd be fun to have that division mean something for once. But
absolutely.
We'll have to see. And staying in that division, as long as we're talking about the Jets, we'll go into the Dolphins. And suddenly they've made news recently that they could actually trade into the top 10. I don't know who they're looking at getting. It's obviously not one of the quarterbacks, but do you see anybody on the board that they could – I mean, maybe they're trying to get another pass rusher to pair with Sue and Cameron Wake?
I think if they're going after anybody, it's Amari Cooper. Mike Wallace is gone. They don't have a receiver threat. I think if they're going after anybody, it's Cooper.
Which means they would have to trade up to – I don't have my draft board in front of me. They'd have to trade up to, I believe, 5 or 6 to get him.
They'd have to get above Oakland because I think Oakland's going to take Cooper if he's there. Now, Oakland's at 4.
Yeah. And even though personality-wise he doesn't scream Oakland Raider, as far as ability on the field, definitely be a throwback to the old great, you know, Tim Brown and some of those guys.
Oh, my goodness. That guy paired up with Carr. Oh, my goodness.
they could set some records for sure, and I'm glad that Atlanta would only play them once every 4 years or so.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. If you're an Oakland Raider fan, you better be jumping up and down and saying, we got to get this guy because, hey, they added Crabtree signed with them the other day, wasn't it?
Yep. Crabtree was a great pickup for them. And, again, I've got an uncle who's a very big Raiders fan, and every now and then I'll get a picture from him of Amari Cooper. So I think he's pretty happy about where they're picking. But Crabtree and Cooper given to Carr, man, that's going to be special.
Yeah, if they can – actually, their line's not half bad, you know.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And they've got a ton of cap space now. Shouts out to Reggie McKenzie out there. And Coach Hill said it. Give McKenzie some time, and he's going to turn it around, and he's on his way.
Yep, absolutely. Let's see. Let's go Aaron Rodgers next. Why not? Aaron Rodgers has been making news in the last couple weeks. He attended quite a few with his superstar girlfriend as well, which, we'll talk about her later.
Right.
Different show, I guess. The big story was Rodgers attended a bunch of NCAA tournament games for Wisconsin, which is not where he went to school, which is kind of the precursor teaser for the rest of this story. He supports them because he plays in Green Bay, so he supported Wisconsin, but he didn't wear red. Did you ever see why?
No, I did not. And when I saw that on the board, I was hoping that you would tell me because I was interested in that piece.
Well, I gave the precursor teaser that he did not go to school at Wisconsin. He supports them because he supports the state of Wisconsin from him being a Packer player this long. Do you remember
right.
where he goes to school?
I do not. I do not. Right offhand, I do not.
I believe he was a JUCO transfer, but he transferred to Cal.
Ah, that's right. He did go to Cal.
He was a Cal Bear. And who's the number one rival of the Cal Bears?
The Wisconsin Badgers.
Not close. Well, that's one of them. The one I would mention is the one a little farther north, I believe. That would be Stanford.
Is Stanford there? That's right. Stanford is.
Yep. And Stanford, like Wisconsin, uses red as the primary color. So he said nothing personal. He wore a neutral gray, which is kind of a Wisconsin color anyway, but he wore a neutral gray, cheered for Wisconsin, but he says, I won't wear red because that's Stanford
that?
Color.
How about that?
And that's Aaron Rodgers in a nutshell for you. He is he's quiet and to himself, but he likes to go and support what he believes in. He goes to Kentucky Derby with Brady a lot and really shares in the community there. But I like that. I have no problem with that.
Wow, I do like that. That shows a level of loyalty. That's loyalty, man. There's nothing you can say negative about that.
Exactly. And they tried to bash him for it, and he's just like, hey, okay, well, I don't have to show up. You know, I showed up to support the team, so.
Right.
And, I want to leave the fun one for last. So, hopefully soon-to-be good buddy Lawrence Tynes, who used to kick. I've spoken to his wife on Twitter before. I've not spoken to him yet. She's a super lady. But former kicker in the league, Lawrence Tynes, is suing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because of the MRSA he contracted in, I believe it was in his kicking foot when he was down there. You know, him and Carl Nix, one of the defensive linemen for them, contracted it, and it pretty much ended both their careers. They both ended up taking settlements. I think he was actually released. But,
right, he was.
I tried to talk to him about this. That's why I'd been speaking to his wife. But I actually think he's got a valid case here. He's saying because the conditions were as bad as they were at the facility, that's why they contracted it.
Well, you know what, and I'm with him on that because, again, we're talking about a multi-million-dollar NFL football franchise, you know, that can't contain something like this. You're putting players at risk, not only of your own team, but on visiting players. And I won't be surprised if Tynes is the only one that comes up with a lawsuit. You've released this guy. You've ended his career. Why not?
Yep.
Why should you not?
You changed the way he earns money for his livelihood. So.
Absolutely. You've affected this guy's family, period.
And I'm not, you know, and we're not just reporting it because it's a Buccaneers story and we talk Falcons and that, and it's not just because they're a rival or something like that. It's like, no, this is I've kind of been waiting on this for, I guess, a year and a half, 2 years. I thought at some point somebody's going to make a case that maybe the people in charge of the facility, whoever it was, weren't quite keeping up their end of the bargain.
Hey, man, you know what? Guys are getting fired for noise gate and deflating footballs and all this other stuff that's arbitrary, right? But we're talking about, man, life-threatening illnesses and career-threatening. I mean, come on. Come on. I'm surprised. I'm like you. I'm surprised it took so long.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe Carl Nix will get in on the mix here, too. And it's not about the money. It's about kind of, you know, raising the flag here, like, we got to do a better job of protecting the players. And with the concussion stuff and all that, they're doing a good job. But he's like, it's not just concussions that are ending careers here.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is all, again, we're talking about multi-million-dollar franchises that are asking for PSLs and exorbitant ticket pricing and the whole nine. And the least you can do is take care of the guys that make that money.
Yep. Absolutely. And as we get into the last subject, which I'm sure will be a lot of fun, I may actually have to. And that would be, I sent out the thing for you to kind of think about your top three or so AFC teams as of right now and your top NFC as well. And then we may even throw in a Super Bowl pick if you had to pick right now. But we'll start in the AFC. Who are kind of the top three teams or so that you see in the AFC right now before the draft?
Obviously, Seattle, the Patriots.
And Seattle's NFC.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. So let's go. The Patriots. You know what? I've got a couple of sleeper picks here too, man, believe it or not.
I got a couple sneaky, but they're not that sneaky once you hear what I say.
But I'm going to go with the Patriots, the Colts, and I'm going to go to Bills, man. I'm going to go to Buffalo Bills.
I could make a good argument there. That defense could take them pretty far.
Right.
All right.
Those are my three.
I'm going to go I'm gonna go Patriots for sure. They would actually be my number three. I'm gonna actually rank mine just because I've been thinking about it this much. I have actually got the Baltimore Ravens as my number two team, and they seem sneaky, but when you really look at, they kind of play, them and the Patriots play a similar type of game as far as personnel and schemes and the way they kind of sneakily pick up a project and make him a star. And then my top team right now is the Indianapolis Colts. If you look at the pattern, for one, first they make the playoffs, then they win one game, then they win two games. They were only just a fraction off from going to the Super Bowl this year. They kind of were playing pretty tough against New England. So, you know, I think Indy's prime and ready to make a really deep run here and maybe make it to a Super Bowl, which we'll get into in a minute. Actually, I was able to meet one of their offensive linemen. He unfortunately didn't get to play much last year because of injury, but in covering GSU in the previous month or so, I actually met him. Of all places, I met him at a volleyball tournament, but he had vested interest in a player there. So,
okay.
Ulrich John, who was offensive lineman for the GSU Panthers a couple years back, and he actually was wearing Colts gear when I saw him. So it was fun getting to talk to him for a minute. And we're if the Colts personnel are listening, I will resend that email about trying to get him on here because he's just a super guy, and it'd be fun to have him on any of the shows that we do. But yeah, even he was saying that he wasn't necessarily making any kind of predictions or anything. He just said they like to go hard at it at practice, and they're like a family up there, just like we were saying Atlanta's turning into. So you know, look out. And we'll jump to the NFC now.
NFC, I'm gonna say obviously Seattle, the aforementioned Seattle. Arizona.
Okay.
And punk. I'm torn between two, but I'm going to go. You know, I want to go with my Falcons. But I'm trying to be realistic here.
Right.
Because I think we still got a year. I'm going to say Carolina.
All right. I could make an argument for either of those. And I'm gonna agree with your Seattle. So I guess I'll see your Seattle and I'll raise you a Green Bay and a Dallas. Those
right,
are
Green Bay and Dallas were my other two sleepers. I think Green Bay definitely. I can see Green Bay. Dallas, I think, was a fluke. Losing Murray is going to be bigger than they thought.
Unless they get AP.
That was my asterisk. If they get AP, absolutely Dallas.
but you know, me putting them on this list, I'm doing it that they have Darren McFadden as their starter, not Adrian Peterson, because you know this list is as of right now, just like a couple weeks ago.
Darren McFadden. Okay.
You know, Tony Romo's going to have to throw a little bit more, unfortunately. But
high risk, high reward, man.
Right. You know, just like a couple weeks ago when I was on, unfortunately you guys weren't able to be on, but I did a top five quarterbacks as of right now based off of what ages they are now. So you get Peyton at 38. You get Rodgers at, I think he's 31. You get RG3 at 25. And I made that top five list. Called a lot of crap for it, but you know, at the same time, my opinion is exactly that, my opinion. I always throw that disclaimer out. But it's the same way with this. If you had to ask me right now, just like we're going to do with a possible Super Bowl pick in a minute, you know, I ask you right now to pick your top three teams. I think we have a good list going here, for one, and we could easily make cases that any of these teams we picked could be Super Bowl contenders in next February.
Right. I agree with that.
So, could you make a Super Bowl pick right now?
I can.
Okay.
I think out of the NFC, I think Seattle. I think coming with Jimmy Graham and bringing back Marshawn Lynch, I don't really see any team in the NFC being able to contend with that.
Right.
On the AFC side, I'm torn between Buffalo and New England again.
Okay.
Out of the two, I'll have to say Buffalo. I think Buffalo gets over the hump.
Wow. Okay.
I say Seattle, Buffalo.
Okay.
Right, as of right now.
Right. Yeah, I agree that Seattle, unfortunately for the other 31 teams, Seattle did nothing but get better in the offseason in about every facet that they possibly could.
Right.
Because, like I said, adding Jimmy Graham means there was no interception at the end of the Super Bowl. There's a touchdown celebration.
Right, or you just hand it off to Marshawn Lynch in this thing.
Well, no, if you have Jimmy Graham there, I think he's the one making that cut, and he's a little more of a physical receiver to where Malcolm Butler never has a play on that ball.
Or you just hand it off to Marshawn Lynch and just let him run 1 yard. I'm sorry, I'll stick to that gun. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, I agree with that. Or I don't know how Russell Wilson doesn't tuck and run right up under his center or his left guard and just run it in himself.
That too.
But you know, we can play 2020 hindsight all day with that. I still stand by. If Pete Carroll thought that was the play to use, then you know I give him props because he's slowly growing on me. I don't know that he'll ever be my favorite coach, just because there's quite a few ahead of him. But I definitely respect what he does with the game.
Yes, I do too. I do too.
And of course, I have the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
As much as it does pain me to put them there. To me, they're still the team to beat. I actually think because Green Bay was slightly healthier, and I'm talking probably a 60% healthy and a 55% healthy for Seattle, Green Bay was a little – you know, I had Green Bay, New England in the Super Bowl.
Yes,
and,
I
think if Green Bay was a little healthier during that game, then maybe they beat Seattle, but Seattle ended up being just enough to beat them. I got Seattle there. I got them playing the Indianapolis Colts. I feel like they are good enough to be there, and I think they can not only beat Baltimore in a very close battle, but I think they can possibly dominate Tom Brady and New England with the matchup problems they would give them.
You know what? That's a good point. I think if I didn't feel so strongly about what Rex Ryan is going to bring to Buffalo, and again, right now I think they still got some questions at quarterback. But if you had to go with right now, with what the teams have, Indianapolis definitely trumps Buffalo. So I would definitely.
You know, and this could all change because let's say Dallas does get Adrian Peterson, and let's say they also draft a killer pass rusher to make up for DeMarcus Ware being gone last season. You know, all of a sudden maybe I move them up because that would give them a little bit of an edge maybe against Seattle. But we'll have to see after the draft. We may do this same thing after the draft and see if anything changes. We'll have Coach back on, so we'll revisit this at some point.
Absolutely. I like this game, Jeremy. This is a good game.
Well, that's why I come up with I can't take all the credit for the top five quarterback thing because –
Hey, man, I got to stalk you. I'm going to reach out to Coach Hill and make sure he knows that.
With the thing I did a couple weeks ago. But no, I definitely like. We're gonna start trying to bring some trivia back here.
The trivia, man. It keeps us sharp.
Exactly, because a lot of times it's either things I hear or it's not always just random knowledge I know. Sometimes it's stuff I look up. Like, you know, I wonder what this is and look it up because it's always fun to learn something new. And there's so much that none of us know about the NFL.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I always appreciate these shows, Jeremy, and I appreciate the opportunity you've given me to join the Impact Zone because, you know, it has helped me sharpen my iron, as we always use around me and some of my cohorts. So definitely, it definitely keeps me on my toes.
Yeah, it definitely keeps all of us on our toes, even if sometimes we're like ballerinas, we're on them so much.
Right. Hey, it comes with the job, man. It's part of the
job. Yeah, it does. You with anything in life, you get out what you put in. So we try to put in and do our due diligence on things and try not to talk about hearsay so much and get the information out to the fans because, you know, I haven't given out the Impact Player of the Week award in a while because there hadn't been any games. But if I had to give it to anybody, I would say it's definitely the fans of this show and not just to say it because we're on this show, but there's been a few that have actually, you know, recognized me at other events at GSU and stuff like that. And, you know, just from various things between the ATL Falcoholics and the Game Changers and all the other people we're associated with, they're always reaching out and they appreciate what we do. So, you know, we appreciate them listening. So shout out to all those guys. And if we can ever get an award made, we'll send all you guys one.
Well, you know what, Jeremy, and I think this goes back to you, man, is you know, you set the tone with what your vision was, and your vision has always been about integrity. And anytime you start something with integrity, especially in this work, in that particular arena where these guys get burned so often by the media,
yes.
And you're changing that. So, you know, as your list is expanding and the people that we're touching and the people that we're getting on the show is expanding, man, I think you gotta give yourself a hand clap, man, because this all started with your vision of just being, you know, having integrity, and that's a good thing, man. That's a good thing.
Well, I definitely appreciate it, and for more of my philosophies and vision, which I told somebody the other day that said they appreciated what I did, and especially they were a GSU student, and with me starting to, we've started to cover them a little bit on Impact Media and with a video show that will hopefully be out soon. We've had some, like I said, it's been an interesting week, so it may be tomorrow or Saturday before that gets posted. But I promise you guys it'll be up. But I told them, I said, the vision, as you mentioned there, I haven't reached what the vision of is this yet. It's always an ongoing thing, just like buying a house or just like taking care of your body. It's an ever-changing, always evolving thing. So just stay tuned and make sure you're somewhere near the train when it pulls into the station, because there's some exciting things coming from Impact Media this year.
Oh, absolutely. I will definitely be there to enjoy the ride.
Absolutely. And as we mentioned earlier, not only will I'll be at all the GSU games because I'll be covering them, but obviously you'll be able to catch myself and Reggie and more than likely Coach at GSU games, Georgia Tech games. We're going to be at the Falcons games. We're going to be all over this fall and this summer. But if you catch us, we're going to hopefully try to have Impact Media or End Zone or something on a shirt, so that if you guys do want shirts, or in the simple fact that way you can identify us sometimes. If you see us somewhere, don't be shy. Come over. We'll talk football all day long.
Oh, and Jeremy, you just spoke shirts. Remember, I still have your
yes.
your Still Strong shirt as well. But that's another good positive note to possibly end on, and that young Leah is officially cancer-free as of the last report that we've got.
When I read that, I had to actually sit down, because it, I won't necessarily say floored me, but I was touched that there was a happy ending, and that you know, she can move on, and the whole family can move on with their lives and start being normal again.
Man, I saw a picture with her with full head of hair, and I had to do the same. I mean, and it just shows the power of you know, one thing about children, man, you can draw strength from, is that they don't have no. They don't have a concept of no. And so their strength is just through the roof sometimes, man. And that's a great story, man. And I'm just so happy for those guys and for that family, that apparently she has been. We're going to continue to put positive energy out there. She
yep.
has been able to beat such a nasty, nasty disease.
Yep, absolutely. I would say that kids have I like to use the word blind a lot, because – you know, as kids, you have to learn to have judgment and stuff like that. But there's a blind faith that is always inspiring in kids. That, like
absolutely.
You said, they just don't know that there's another possibility but to beat things and to keep pushing on, because that's the example set in front of them.
Absolutely. Well said.
Well, I guess we will end on that note then, and actually get out of here on time for once, because usually we like to get talking and get going, but there's always so much to talk about. So we'll end on the Devin Still note for sure.
Absolutely. I like it.
But unless you have something else to add, because I think we went through everything that we had.
No, I think that's the perfect note to add on. Congratulations, Leah Still.
Well, one announcement. I have to sneak that one in there. It's been passed to me, and it'll kind of build on that, I guess. Here at Impact Media, we currently do not have draft night for the first round plans. We have feelers out. We have a few people have contacted us about events. But if you know of an event or you'd like us to come to your event, obviously not your house. We don't want to get into legalities of that thing. Nothing personal. I'm sure you make amazing cheeseburgers that we would love to have. But if you're going to be at a surrounding area, watering hole, or if you're going to be out, maybe you're going to go to the Falcons one or something. Let us know, because we haven't finalized our plans yet, and we would love to come hang out with you guys.
Absolutely.
And as soon as we know about our next show in a couple weeks, we will let everybody else know about when that is. Like I said, more than likely, it will not be right before the draft as far as the same day. We'll probably move it the day before or something.
Okay.
Just for the simple fact of no need to kind of rush it in there. And, you know, for the most part, we'll set you up and prepare you for the draft, and then we'll have our follow-up show afterwards. And, you know, because everybody's going to watch the draft. We don't need to sit here and go pick by pick. We want to tell you who made the best moves and maybe if our Super Bowl pick changed.
Right, right. I'm sure it will after that day.
Or if Coach Hill has finally knocked some sense into us and we change him for the better.
Right, like he tried to do last year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he went with the repeat, and it didn't – he was half right.
Right.
But yeah, just for the sake of going out on the high note, we will just say again shout-out to Devin and Leah Steele, and it's awesome to see that the blind faith and the determination to never give up actually pays off in the world. So just keep plugging away, Leah, and we look for some awesome things from you guys.
Absolutely.
Very soon.
Absolutely.
But for the King ATLian Reggie Walker, I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys in a couple weeks.